This episode of the Real Talks podcast is brought to you thanks to the MGF Group, a premier building material supplier in New York City. Whether you're a seasoned contractor or a DIY enthusiast, the MGF Group offers a wide range of premium building materials to suit your every need. From cement to lumber, protection materials and safety nets, the MGF Group has got it all under one roof and pride themselves in timely and reliable delivery. Check out the mgfgroup.com for more information.
This episode of the Real Talks podcast is brought to you thanks to the Taylor Public House. Right on the doorstep of Madison Square Garden, the Taylor Public House is the perfect place to connect with family or friends before taking in a concert or sports event. The Taylor is known for its warm welcome, classy ambiance, and comfort food. It has two floors, three bars, and two private event spaces for parties and gatherings. Be sure to stop by and experience the Taylor Public House for yourself, located in the heart of Midtown Manhattan on the corner of 35th Street and 8th Avenue. Check out thetaylornyc.com for more information.
Hello there. Welcome to the Real Talks podcast. I'm Alan O'Mara, an author, speaker, and mental performance coach with sports teams in the US and Ireland. We originated this podcast in Ireland, where I'm from, and are coming to you this season from New York City, where I'm based now. In this new season of the Real Talks podcast, we're diving into meaningful conversations about life journeys and all things mental health with guests from the global Irish community. We're so happy to be partnering with Connemara Marble this week for a giveaway. We'll be picking a winner to receive their stunning silver and green marble Triskel pendant. To enter, you just need to do two things. You need to follow the Hey Real Talks on Instagram, that's Hey Real Talks, and subscribe to our newsletter at realtalks.news. Just do that and you're automatically entered. You're in, you can win. We'll be picking a winner in the next couple of weeks. Check out Connemara Marble's jewellery and good luck to everyone who enters. We've also partnered with Irish Central this season, so please head to irishcentral.com to check out their features on each week's episode. We've loved seeing our work featured there and on their website and daily newsletter. Last week, we spoke with comedian Iman Idama. And this week, I'm looking forward to reflecting on that conversation and more. To do that, I'm joined by Real Talks producer and my fiancé, Mary-Kate Boylan. Hello, Mary-Kate. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, hi, Alan. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you on this fine morning?
I'm tired.
Aww.
Well, it's okay.
That's a real energizer for the listener there to kick us off.
They'll be able to relate. Everyone's tired.
Okay, well, going from there.
I've been really liking hearing all of the improv you do during the intros.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, I was like, I'm awake. I'm feeling good. Let's have fun. Oh, okay. Let's play around. Let's back myself with some talent.
I just think less people can relate to feeling awake.
Okay. Straight. I am on my second cup of coffee. I noticed you cut yourself off after one.
I have hot yoga after this. So I'm simultaneously recording this and in between speaking, trying to chug water.
We're here to make content,
so
not
that
excuses.
I don't pass out. Yeah. That would be such a bummer if you got a call in 2 hours. Like, hey, can you come to Fierce Grace Yoga? Unfortunately, your fiance has passed out in a 100-degree room.
Was that an ad?
I'd love to. I'd love to partner with them because I'm obsessed. I have been in a yoga cult before, and I could be in a cult now. I'm very susceptible to cults.
We'll save that for a special follow-up episode. Your yoga cult adventure.
Yeah, no, it's fine. We don't have to.
That'll be a special documentary down the line.
Fine.
But looping back to Iman, right. Where we started. I think for me, it's been really nice to share that episode and get some feedback from different people who've listened. Like, I think it was a really powerful episode. It was a really unique episode. I think over the years, I've been very fortunate to talk to many people about many different things. Particularly on for a podcast platform, and I've never had a conversation like that. Like, it just really, listening back to it the other day, it just hit me how powerful it was. And also just his life and his experiences and how much he has had to endure and how resilient he is. And it's just like remarkable that he's come through all that. Like, he's still here showing up, smiling, making us laugh, and like living his life. And I think it took a lot from that, and I'm very grateful that he opened up and shared his experience with us. And I know for listeners who got to listen to that, like, I thought it was a very special conversation.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we just so happened to when Iman was here for like that kind of long weekend, we ended up like spending a few days with him. And when he left, I genuinely was like, oh, like I felt like a longtime friend was leaving. I was so sad. But yeah, it was obviously like a really unique conversation. Just his like life experience and his point of view. It's just like another reminder. And I said this in the episode, like we all say that we know that like people, you know, even if they're making you laugh as their career, you know, have lived through darker things and have other stuff going on. But it's just another reminder that, you know, as we walk through this world, everyone that we meet has so many different things going on that we don't know about. And not to change the way we walk through the world in terms of like, oh, I don't want to say this, not to offend someone, but just like to keep it in mind that we all are dealing with things and it kind of makes us all a bit more connected.
Yeah, I feel like, and you know, it was like, as he shared that, like, I think we talked about this on a previous episode too, like, it's obviously so easy to like self-edit or leave chunks out, but like I just was kind of blown away by like how comfortable he was just to like take you through it. And honestly, I think if we had to talk for another 3 hours, we would have talked, like, you know, he would have shared for another 3 hours. But like, just like I always say this too, like, and like, say my work as like a mental performance coach, it's like life's not a competition in this stuff. So it's not like, you know, the worst stuff that happened to you or to me, like, it's just his life journey has been his life journey, and he's had to like deal with and endure way more than any particularly child should ever have had to do. But they don't ever want listeners to like, oh, he went through all that, so then like my stuff, like, you know, is not important or it doesn't matter. But like resilience is something that is a skill, and we all have different levels of it. Like, you know, sometimes it takes work. But I don't want anyone ever thinking that, like, you know, oh, just, well, he did all that, so like I'm not resilient because I can't deal with what I'm going through. Like, that's not how it works. And I think like, for, I think the big thing with Iman too is like, he didn't just magically deal with it or endure. Like, it was a lot of suffering and struggle. And then when we asked him, I think I remember asking him the question, like, kind of, how did you move through that? And it was like, it was therapy. And then it was, I think he mentioned cutting his mom particularly like out of his life, that they were the two kind of significant, what would you call them, like stepping stones to like the next chapter. And I said, all the stuff that happens in previous chapters still with him and carrying around with him. But I just thought there was such helpful just insight and perspective as to like, for anyone that's dealing with some shit. Mm-hmm. And I suppose trying to get through it and get out of there. And I think there's a number of lessons that maybe we could dive into that kind of helped him do that.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that you talk about, resilience, which is a word that I think in culture gets used incorrectly. I typically hate the word because I feel like it's often used by companies and corporations who are like, how can we have a workshop to mm-hmm. have our employees work more for us and not care when about we treat them poorly? Whereas obviously resilience is an actual word and an actual thing. And something that like Iman has in thousands. But he also made me think about he said how like as a child, he was just like always making people laugh, always making people smile. Everyone knew who he was. Like, and just like what a beautiful thing it is to carry that through all of those experiences. And he's still that person. You know how we're all kind of born with like certain, you see with like, get like kids have like mm-hmm. it's just like, how are you just like this, like you were just born and you have this personality, and then but to hold on to that through kind of all of the worst things that can happen to a child is just such like a beautiful thing, because again, like we said, like now he's out here just like making people happy, and that's incredible. Yeah, and the comparing to other people's suffering is like a real thing. I remember in therapy, I always used to say that, like, when I was going through, like, pretty hard things, and I'd be like, I mean, I know other people have it worse, and, like, my therapist was just like, we're not saying that anymore in here. Like, I'm not those people's therapist. Like, we're just, like, done with that, and it is, because you really could get bogged down. I mean, there's just, like, especially now in the world, you know, there's a lot of horrific things happening. But finding ways to take care of each of ourselves within that.
But I think, yeah, to add to that, like with Iman, like you bringing up like his ability to like make people laugh or going all the way back, like I think like at the time too, like he wouldn't have even known, but like that was his own natural form of resilience, like being able to like, that's like in a, I suppose like if I was like describe resilience like I would if I was doing one of those workshops that you described or you're going into like talk about resilience at a big level, but it's like resilience helps us to like cope in the face of adversity, trauma, or deal with like significant sources of stress, and that can come from like relationships, from health, grief, sport, or work. But like for Iman, like his way of coping and sometimes was making people laugh, and kind of like that is a, like that is a natural form of resilience. I think sometimes we think of resilience as like, you know, just that capacity to like endure and right, like the like strongest person
just
in the
bear.
Room. Exactly, like just carry, like load up the shoulders yeah. and just carry the weight. But resilience like takes a lot of different forms, you know, like resilience, like a lot, sometimes a lot of my work is like resilience is around like a shift in mentality towards like, well, okay, like how can I cope better? Like if this thing is happening, we don't always have control over the yeah. thing that's happened to us or that we're dealing with, but kind of trying to focus on like the response. And yeah, absolutely, resilience can be like, no, I've got to commit to going to therapy and then I've got to commit to keep going. Like that's resilience in terms of, because your brain or your, you know, someone might try and tell you, don't do that. Mm-hmm. But it's also like smaller things like being like self-compassionate to yourself, or if it's going to like, you know, the movies, taking actions to go for a walk and listen to some music, listen to this podcast, like they're all little acts and forms of resilience as well that kind of all add up. And I always find like, because of that word resilience, I think it's become so loaded in like society and particularly in work environments, like, you know, like I've purposely like stepped away and like not engaged in those corporate spaces a whole pile, because I just, when a lot of companies talk about resilience, like it was almost like just come in here and tell them that, like, you know, just to go for a walk in their evening and then so they can just keep doing their work. Like, and it's something that never felt comfortable with me. But like resilience is more of like a an ongoing thing, and it's a lot of adding up a lot of small things. But then also, I suppose, coming back across the other side of the spectrum when significant shit is happening, which, you know, we all wish that stuff doesn't happen to us, but like it does. That it's been able to kind of find your way out of that. And I think like, yeah, it's like Iman's journey is like, because it's so easy to be listening to that, and I could be like when I was like, you know, dealing with suicidal thoughts or feelings when I was like in my early 20s, like what were you thinking about, like you little baby, like, do you know what I mean? Oh, you couldn't put together your identity around like sport and life or grief or, but like again, I just want to repeat that point because I think it's really important. Like it's not that, like everyone's life and journey is their journey, their path. We're all learning and dealing with things as we go. And for sure, we absolutely can learn from different perspectives. We can learn from listening to other people. But I think it's then taken away or taken out the things that are really helpful. And like to that point, I think the other thing that really came back to me, and we've talked about this in a previous episode, was the importance of like good people around you. And he talked in particular about his friend, like Emmanuel, who like really helped him like when he was kind of a young man in his like late teens, where like, you know, he detached from his family. He was kind of an independent person and struggling, and had talked about, you know, I think he was homeless for 2 months and couldn't, like, didn't have work, was completely, like, alienated from the support system, the social system. And at that point, you know, all that Iman had lived through, like, it would be easy. And he mentioned, like, thinking about, like, quitting, like, just, like, not being able to go any further. And, like, having a friend like that who can put the arm around the shoulder, support, empower, like, help lift you up, believe in you, like, to allow, like, place to stay, basically just to recenter, to rebound and say, no, we're gonna help you move forward from here. And like Iman talked about that. He was like, I'd die for that guy. Like he like is my family. And that was just something that's really powerful. Cause yes, there's resilience and mental skills and therapy. And like, but sometimes we need other people to help us. And that was something as I listened back to the conversation that really like hit me. Like, you know, that one friend of Iman's like just had such a profound impact on his life, and like has really, like Iman was over doing comedy gigs in New York and like selling out like the Dead Rabbit's, a very iconic like pub venue, like does comedy scenes with Katie Boyle and stuff, who's been on with us before. And like you think about like, you talk about like a bounce, I think of it as like a bounce of a basketball, like that person helped Iman like bounce at the floor but like bounce all the way back up. And I just thought that was that, on the warmer side of it, that really hit me too. Like,
yeah, like, and just by being there, you know, like, that's the thing. I think that sometimes we can forget how powerful just that is, you know, to be a good friend, it doesn't have to be like a very elaborate thing. It's just being there. Because you also don't know when is someone's hardest time. Like, he talked about how he was so ashamed to talk to his friends, how he couldn't talk to them about the abuse, how he couldn't talk to them about the home being homeless. Mm-hmm. And just by being there, his friends helped so much. I mean, I think that that's one of the reasons too, especially with abuse, like it really happens in silence. And for
behind closed doors.
Yeah, for him to be sharing his story is just so helpful to so many people. Because there is an inherent, whether it's child abuse or domestic abuse of any kind, there's like a shame attached. It also just kind of, when I was working in TV news, I like spent a year working on stories about domestic violence and got to meet like a lot of people working in the space, a lot of people who had lived through it. And, you know, statistically, we all know many people who have lived through some form of domestic violence. And I think if you asked people, I don't think that they would think that they know many people, because there is such a stigma attached. One, it's hard to just, like Iman said, like he really wasn't able to, like just going to therapy and saying it out loud mm-hmm. was super helpful. And he could say it to random people, but then saying it to friends, like that's a really hard thing to open up about. And I think that just it becomes your world. Like if you were listening to what he was saying about like what his mom would say to him, and you're just like, that is so many worlds removed from us talking to him on it. Like, but if that's your world, it's such a different thing. You know, that's what you're constantly breathing in and constantly working in. And he was a child. Like, he that's needed to say. Be there. You know, he couldn't just, it's just so loaded and so hard.
You know the way, like, sometimes as you get older, like, you know, you can choose, like, say a bad group of friends or a bad partner or whatever, and it's like, yeah, like, I ended up in this, and I, like, you know, you made the choice. But that was always, like, that's what stuck with me, too, from the conversation of, like, listening to that, like, that childhood trauma and, like, child abuse that, you know, he described very openly and, like, gave us full insight into, and, like, I'm really appreciative of that, but that's one of the things what you said there. That's what really hit home me is that, like, you know, at that point, like, this is your world, but not by choice. Like, you're just being dropped into this. And then, like, he's listening on a day-to-day, like, to some crazy stuff. Like, so some, like, absolutely, like, that deranged, that, you know, you said multiple universes away from maybe what I think would be going on in my head or my world. And, like, that was just his life and situation. As you said, like, it just happening, like, it's just happening at home behind closed doors. And obviously Iman could go to school or go to college and then, like, okay, you just like get in there, put on your mask and kind of, you know, I think he talked about like school being a huge relief. Like, he used to like, even though he was like dyslexic and had a stutter, like he couldn't wait to get to school half the time because that was ultimately like a safer place. I think that was, yeah, that's definitely something that stuck out. And then obviously just the stigma that becomes attached to it then in terms of us all, in terms of our shame and our guilt and hiding it from people who can help us. And I think that's such an important point of, like, literally, I know one of the clips we took out from the episode was just saying it out loud. And like, that's where, when any of us are dealing with particularly, you know, difficult stuff, if that's mental health, if that's abuse, if that's like relationship troubles or whatever that kind of spectrum of things it may be, like when you say it out loud, like I always say to, and it always makes you think of like when I was doing workshops in schools and stuff, like I'd always say to the kids, like, saying it out loud doesn't mean you have to like stand up on the table in the middle of the room and go like the Dead Poets Society and like do a whole like proclamation or announcement to the room. But like saying it out loud is just to find that like one person that you trust, like a friend, or it can be a coach or a teacher or a colleague. And that's something I always tried to keep in my mind, even when I was going through stuff. It was just like, yeah, just kind of helping mentally differentiate, saying out loud doesn't mean the whole world has to know, but it's just finding that one person you trust. I know there's research around, like, you know, I think it was one of the mental health charities in Ireland done research around like that one good adult, like, and the impact that can have on a child, for example, which you might dig out and we can put in like the notes or whatever. But like, just, yeah, just, and keeping that in mind always, that you don't need 100 friends, you don't need 1,000 friends, like, when it comes to stuff, and whether it's really, really serious stuff or just something that's weighing you down, that's causing you stress, just having one person and just saying it out loud. And then, like, to be able to, like to be able to say it out loud in a kind of a person you know, and then maybe like, okay, thanks for sharing that with me, like I didn't know that and like I appreciate it, but like let's go and like get you to someone who can help you now, like a professional, in terms of it being you know, if that is a therapist, a counselor, or what, like whatever it is, because that's, we've said this before, it's always like a, from the friend's perspective, like just I always want like say it, because it's like it's not your job as the friend to help like to fix it, and it's just to be there as a support. And you, like I think that example with Emmanuel that Iman shared, it was just, it obviously it reminds me of different things in my own life, but like it was just really powerful to me of like, you know, two young men, and then one just saying to the other like, yeah, it's okay, like life is hard, life can be shit, but like we keep going and we keep at it, and like we help each other, and like that's what, like I listened to it yesterday and like it just made me like, it gave me like a little tingle of just like, you know, just two, like one young man helping another young man. Like that's like often the answer to a lot of this, of just like that compassion and that empathy, and then just helping someone. And that's like so powerful. Cause again, like where I started at that point was like, Iman like chose none of this. Like this was just like dumped on him, but just by nature of the world. And that was his world. And it was like, if you haven't listened to the episode, like go back and listen to it. Like I'm not going to like retell it stuff of it, but like it was crazy shit. And he's, I always just, yeah, Emmanuel was just like, I don't know if you're listening to this, but dog. Yeah. Like genuinely, like you talk about like the importance of life and friendships and what our actual like purposes and what we can do in this time on earth. Like I was like a legend, like yeah. Straight up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like to how he described him being there for Iman was kind of like, yeah, it is hard. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's one of the big things. Kind of, I think you often open up to the people that you know aren't going to be like, but this is okay and it's fine. Like, you yeah. know, sometimes you just need someone to be like, yeah, that sucks, but like, here I am, you know?
No, that like, so like with that stuff too, if you ever end up in those conversations, like I've certainly on my journey, and I'm sure you've had this too, like, multiple people were like, ah, yeah, you just have to keep going. That's what we do. You just get on with it. Like, and that phrase, like, just get on with it. Like, you know, like, well,
I feel like that's a very Irish.
Oh, phrase. Is it? Like, thank God. Like, I don't want the rest of the world dealing with that. Because there's a big difference of saying like, oh, you just have to get on with it, to that is really hard. Like that, they're two completely different. They're the same length of a sentence. And sometimes like when we're in those uncomfortable conversations, we go to like cliches or fillers, or we regurgitate what we've heard before, but they're two saying like, thanks for sharing that with me, that is really hard, versus okay, thanks, we just like have to get on with it, we just keep going. Like they're, it's two different worlds sentiments apart. Definitely. And I think as you said there, like try and find the friends who are gonna listen and like really listen, and just help support you. And as again, like when it comes to this stuff, we always say it, like sometimes, yeah, sharing with a friend is great, but it's not enough, and you do have to go on and kick on. And like I've, when Iman said, like when he shared his story, like his therapist broke down and was like, I'm sorry, I can't be your therapist. I've never heard that before. Like,
no, I was, that was like kind of just part of a story. And I thought about it too. I was like, oh my gosh.
No, I
didn't. It sounded like
he
once
started
again,
laughing, like saying it. But
I know, but it sounded like once again, which seems to have happened throughout his life. Like he ended up comforting that person, kind of like he said when his, like even though his mom was his abuser, like he would end up comforting her, which is just such a. But luckily, he found the right therapist who he could open up to. The other thing I was going to say about friends is like I feel like it's something I've learned as I've gotten older, like. Just like your intuition, like you kind of just know which person you can tell a specific thing to, you know, like, and just go with that. Mm-hmm. Like if something in, do you know what it makes me think of? When you were in, I think it was the last season of The Player's Voice, which you host, you spoke to Mary Holgreen, and she said that she was dealing with, I think, alcohol addiction at the time. And she just like kind of had to come to like, okay, I need to change something. And she called kind of a random person who had kind of given her his number and said, if you ever need anything, reach out. And she just kind of knew that he would get it. Mm-hmm. Like she didn't reach out to
like her best friend or like a cousin or whatever it was. Yeah.
And sometimes you just know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a really powerful thing too. Like it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be your best friend.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. But I think if I remember that example correctly, like that was, you know, a lot of the time we're on our journeys, you go through cycles of thinking you want help versus avoiding help and kind of in and out of, no, I've got this. No, I can't. Like I need help. No, I do. I have this. And there's like that like perpetual cycle going round and round. But I think on that journey, you might meet someone like when you're in the phase of I do need help, that just shares an experience that opens up to you a little bit. You're not best friends. They might be in circle two or circle three of your friends. But when the time comes around again, like you know that there's shared experience there, that there's like perspective there and insight. And yeah, sometimes like people do need to skip a group of friends, like skip to the next level, just be like, hey, listen, like I know I talked to you about that before. Because it's just a little, there's sometimes you just need someone who's just a little, like
a little
removed.
Separation.
Yeah, just a little removed. And then you're not worried about them telling your other friend that you didn't want to tell. Do you know, like those little kind of dynamics at play within groups and stuff. So it just gives a little more safety. And yeah, like the Mary episode is like, she was dealing with like alcohol and drug addiction and at different times while trying to be a high performing athlete. And like, if anyone wants to go listen to that, I'd highly recommend it. Again, we can put that in the newsletter and show notes. But like Mary was, she was class.
I loved that episode. I feel like I listened to it a couple times. There were just so many good takeaways from it. And something about your conversation, like it felt like you had kind of shared journeys, but in completely different ways, but maybe mirrored each other or handled things at different times similarly for good or bad. And it was just a very interesting perspective. I really liked that conversation.
Yeah, no, she was awesome. And then, like, I think coming back to, like, this conversation, the other thing that came to mind for me, Mary Kay, was that, like, I think in terms of E-Man, like, so we've talked about, like, obviously, like, the childhood trauma and the childhood abuse that he dealt with. And like, one of the other things he spoke about was having dyslexia and having a stutter and kind of being diagnosed later in life. And, again, just his natural way of, like, telling stories and retelling memories, which some of them are, like, painful, but, like, he just, like, makes you laugh with them, which is, like, that's a huge gift. But I think the thing that the conversation made me think about as I listen back to is, particularly as I say this as like young people, but also as adults, like it's something that we have to like keep in mind and get better at, was that like Iman and our interactions with him, I got to spend multiple hours with him, was one of the most warm, like intelligent, insightful, humorous people I've ever been around. And I'd say for half to the majority of his life, he was told he was, or made feel like he was stupid or dumb because he couldn't, with dyslexia, obviously couldn't get ideas or thoughts to the page to write an exam paper, or with stuttering in terms of thinking, feeling, and not being able to articulate when under pressure or like in group dynamics. And it's just something to always remember that, like, you know, we're all wired in different ways. We all have different strengths and weaknesses. And that's something that definitely came back to me, you know, like just in terms of, you know, you think you go back to your classic, like in classrooms or schools that can be unforgiving places. And like, okay, we're 33 now and like school was a long time ago. But I think that's important to remember, like if even as adults, like you can be like, oh, that fella's an idiot or like she's a dose. But like everyone has like different strengths, weaknesses, and just having that a little bit more awareness of that and trying to remember that and then encouraging people to do what they're good at and to recognize that in other people, just because they might be doing traditional things of whether that be work or expression or art or whatever. And that's, I think that listening to E-Man talk about that made me just think that, like, you know, we're all different. We all have different ways of communicating, strengths and weaknesses, but like we all are capable of being good and brilliant and kind of encouraging and supporting that in each other.
Totally. And I think the frustrating thing, and he touched upon this, are the systems need to change around
him. Go on, Mary Kay, get him.
I won't go on a rant about how every single system needs to change. I'll save those for just, I guess, telling you. But
we're going to do a whole spin-off series with you. It's going to be a revolution, and it's going to be close.
This episode is brought to you by Mary Kate's rant about every system in place in this country and countries elsewhere. But he said how in job interviews, he couldn't do them well because, you know, he would kind of tense up when someone would ask him a question. That was like a stutter that was formed through trauma. But how, like, obviously he crushed the job because he's like, such a people person, like, is going to make everyone, like, happy.
Dog.
Yeah, awesome. And how he was like you shouldn't base it on a job interview. You should have a trial. Mm-hmm. And then, and it's like, yeah, like, different people would be in so many jobs if that were the case. But it's also, I think about it in terms of, like, in school, like, testing. Like,
100%.
Some people are just good at testing. And that, right, like, genuinely, some people, like you or I could be good at testing, and then other people who have the exact same, like, level or more of intelligence just aren't good at testing. Mm. Like, and so systems around testing should change. Systems around job interviews should change. Like, even just, he had said, I think it was during the episode about, like, filling out forms could be difficult. Like, all of these could be so made to be so much more accommodating. And it's just, like, false equivalences for, like, aptitude, basically, in any walk of life. And it's such a frustrating thing. Just because someone stutters mm-hmm. doesn't mean that they don't have a brilliant idea. Just because someone has dyslexia doesn't mean they're not brilliant. Like, it's just so frustrating. But I thought that that was such a good point that he made about job interviews. Like, I feel like people just get hired because someone kind of liked them more mm-hmm. than another candidate. Or, like, writing a resume. What?
I know.
Resumes are so stupid.
Like, they're such, like old school traditional ways of doing things. And obviously, like, they should play a part in the process. But I think for, like, even with, I think particularly with, like, stuttering and dyslexia, like, the stigma and shame around those go, like, so far back. Like, you know, like, you take, like, people go back 100 years ago, like, if you had a stutter or, like, you were just, like, pushed aside, like, you were, like, left in the corner of a classroom, like, or not even 100 years ago, probably, like, honestly, like, people, like, our parents' generation or, like, that generation around it, like, you would have just been, like, shunted to the side, and, like, if you couldn't write or if you were dyslexic, you couldn't get out, like, literally, like, I know in Ireland, like, people, like, you got the cane on your hand because, like, you couldn't write, like, that's in our lifetime, you know, and we're still, like, I think society is getting better in that and trying to iron out those, like, those little creases of, like, shame and stigma. And it's, like, because multiple, like, I know I've talked to, I remember talking to, like, Rory O'Connor, who's Rory Stories, on an earlier episode of this podcast as well, around dyslexia and around autism, and kind of, again, that's another thing like that, that's kind of, our generation's in the process of trying to, like, iron it out and be like, no, like, we can work around this and, like, all have, like, ways and means to express ourselves, to do well, to perform and be more understanding and compassionate. Like, but yeah, like, I just think our, like, you go back, like, I remember watching that movie, like, The King's Speech, which was, like, you know, I think that whatever, like, King was a stutter, and, like, but, like, you know, the shame and stigma around that and the treatments of it. And it's like, okay, like, as you said, like, okay, guys, say it happened during the episode where, like, Iman, like, got a wave of, like, a stutter, like, it happened 2-3-4 times. And it's like, I remember I was just like, just relax. Yeah, just like, mm-hmm. we can wait 30 seconds to hear what you have to say. Like, we ain't going anywhere. Totally. But yeah, I just like, I really do appreciate people like Iman who are talking about those. Like, in some ways, like, they seem more trivial than they always, oh, there's mental health campaigns, or like, there is, like, domestic violence campaigns. They're all huge, like, big issues. And sometimes, like, people almost brush off, I feel, a little bit around, like, stuttering, around dyslexia. And it's like, no, like, they're impacting so many people's lives. And then we, as, like, other people around them, can, like, just help support and acknowledge that and, like, push those kind of, like, push people forward. And I go back to, like, his friend Emmanuel. It's like, sometimes people just need, like, yeah, no worries. Like,
yeah. I think that with, like, stuttering and dyslexia, it's kind of like how you're saying, like, in our generation, like, people are removing the shame, removing the stigma from it. But then it's kind of like everything, kind of like mental health. When you're like, okay, removing the shame, removing the stigma. But then the next step that maybe hasn't come, that needs to come, is like active supports and changing
the systems changing.
The systems changing. Yeah. Because, I mean, I think that's, I guess I'm just.
Get him.
Saying all the things I'm frustrated with.
Oh, you're joking.
With mental health, I just feel like for the past, 10 years now, it's been like, stop the stigma. Yeah. And that's
It's okay important. To talk.
Yeah. But now it's like the supports, right? Mm. Like free therapy, like access to healthcare, making therapy way more accessible and not such a cost burden to the people who are suffering the most. Like that's the next step of things that needs to happen. Because, okay, if we're all aware, that only kind of gets us so far.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. Do you know what it makes you think of as we kind of wrap this conversation up, Mary Kate, is like again, like on the podcast series so far, like we've talked to four incredibly different, like insightful, like really, really like courageous people about various topics. And like, yeah, our role in this is like capturing those different spreads. So like if you're out for a walk today, listen to this. If you're cycling on your bike, if you're in the kitchen, like if you're lying in bed, like just trying to share those different experiences from people from different walks of life. And for sure, like, you know, systems and that stuff need to change. And it made me think of like when we went to that breakfast with like Sinead Burke, who hopefully at some point maybe down the line we can talk to, but like she's someone who has gone from, you know, the awareness to like implementing and really like driving home change through Tilting the Lens. And that's something, again, if you want to check out that like today, like that's someone who's going from awareness to strategic like intervention and significant change, which I love. It's a great example. And people are doing that in different ways across mental health. And I think as well as we move forward, like trying to promote and celebrate some of those successes too. Because I think I'm so happy, like I've loved the four conversations that we've had so far. And I think in terms of where we're going, like I know people have got lots of good feedback about our conversations in between episodes like this that just kind of reflect back, help people learn from it, share our own learnings from it. I know I've loved doing it too. And also it goes without saying, like I'm really excited for the next wave of conversations we're gonna like really share, record. And I think like we started Real Talks with like a really simple just idea of just having the like capturing these conversations about, you know, life journeys, life lessons from different experiences, learning from each other, celebrating the global Irish community, of course, in terms of like achievements and successes, but also dipping into those hardships and failures. And I'm like, just for anyone that's, if you're listening to this and have been listening so far, like thank you. We really love sharing them with you. I know I said to you, like we got like a particular like DM the other day, like just from like a young woman who listened to the episode and just really acknowledged like the breadth and depth of the conversations and how helpful they were. And like, that meant a lot. Like just, you know, you get these different bits of feedback and we're excited to kind of keep doing this. And if you haven't already, I would encourage you to sign up for our newsletter. Like every week we release along with the episode, just some supplementary like images, content, points, like reference to different things we talk about in the office. You can sign up for free at realtalks.news. A reminder of the competition that's going on at the moment. If you sign up for our newsletter and you follow our Instagram page, you're automatically entered into win a Connemara marble. I'm going to call it a necklace, just I'm going to go with the more layman's terms. but that's also in the newsletter. But just go to realtalks.news and you can check that out and look at it and sign up. And with that, I think just for me, it's just thanks for listening. Really proud of you, man. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you haven't listened to the full conversation, please go and do. And we'll be back next week.
Yeah. To anyone listening, thank you so much. Honestly, I've loved doing these episodes. I've loved getting back into producing. I've loved having these conversations with you. I've really enjoyed writing the newsletter. You know, yeah, we wanted to do this because you've obviously been through your mental health journey. Like I deal with grief and trauma a lot. And it's just, I think, having these conversations is helpful for us and hopefully helpful for other people. But I'm genuinely so grateful to anybody who's listening. So thank you.
Yeah. And I think the last thing I would say is, because someone mentioned this to me the other day, of like, if you are listening and like you have a friend in mind or you have someone you trust, just that you'd feel comfortable sharing our episodes with, just to be like, hey, I've been listening to this and I think you'd like it or try it. Like we're just trying to grow, like I think community is the word me and you have used, and like just want people who value these types of conversations. We're not looking for to have a million listeners overnight, and we're not chasing like headlines or like, you know, clickbaity stuff, but we want people who appreciate like real conversations and real talks. Bomb. That's why they pay me the big money.
Rough.
Stuff bad, right? Okay, gotta go. But no, it's important to us. So like if you are listening and there's just someone comes to mind, like please share it with them. And so, because we've had Katie Boyle, we've had Emma Brennan, we've had Kieran Moran, we've had Iman Idama, and I'm really, really excited for the next wave of people, and we're going to keep pushing further, different areas, different topics. And also, I think it's important to say, also keep celebrating people who are doing good stuff and achieving stuff, and that are comfortable sharing their lessons along the way. So thanks for listening to the Real Talks podcast, and we'll see you soon.
Yes, thank you so much. They're about to start construction outside of our apartment. So we have a hard out.
Bye. Bye. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Real Talks podcast. The Real Talks podcast is hosted by me, Alan O'Mara, and produced by Mary Kate Boylan. Video and audio were mixed and edited by Jack Deacon at Plural Video and Design. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the Real Talks podcast on your preferred platform to keep up to date with our new weekly episodes. You can also sign up for our newsletter at www.realtalks.news. You can also follow the podcast at Hey Real Talks on Instagram and TikTok, and you can follow me there by searching at AOMTheCat. Thanks for being here, and we'll be back next week. Just a quick reminder that we've partnered with Connemara Marble for a Spock Prize contest. Thanks to their support, we'll be giving away the popular Triscale pendant, an intricate silver and green Connemara Marble necklace. To enter, all you have to do is subscribe to our newsletter for free at realtalks.news and follow us on Instagram at HeyRealTalks. That's it. Then you'll be entered to win. We're also proud to have partnered with Irish Central this season and have loved seeing our work on their website and newsletter. Please head to irishcentral.com each week to check out their features on our episodes and much more. Thanks for listening.
This episode of the Real Talks podcast is brought to you thanks to the Taylor Public House. Right on the doorstep of Madison Square Garden, the Taylor Public House is the perfect place to connect with family or friends before taking in a concert or sports event. The Taylor is known for its warm welcome, classy ambiance, and comfort food. It has 2 floors, 3 bars, and 2 private event spaces for parties and gatherings. Be sure to stop by and experience the Taylor Public House for yourself, located in the heart of Midtown Manhattan on the corner of 35th Street and 8th Avenue. Check out thetaylornyc.com for more information.
This episode of the Real Talks podcast is brought to you thanks to the MGF Group, a premier building material supplier in New York City. Whether you're a seasoned contractor or a DIY enthusiast, the MGF Group offers a wide range of premium building materials to suit your every need. From cement to lumber, protection materials and safety nets, the MGF Group has got it all under one roof and pride themselves in timely and reliable delivery. Check out themgfgroup.com for more information.